We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Saying goodbye. There's a time and a season for everything under the sun. To everything, according to Ecclesiastes, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. When seasons go away, new seasons come. This is how our life works. There will be changes in our lives as seasons change, and we must embrace these changes if we're going to grow. So your life is just like a season, and there's growth that's going to be needed. Seasons cause growth, but before growth comes, death must occur. This is also true in our personal lives and spiritual walk. If we desire to experience spiritual growth, we must experience the pain and discomfort of change. Can't be comfortable. A comfortable Christian is a carnal Christian. You gain comfort by being carnal because you get locked into the way you are and nothing will change. Change is very uncomfortable for a believer. John 12 and 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? It abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's what's happening to some of you right now. That's why it's so painful, because you're at that death point. God is getting ready to bring much fruit from you. God says even when you start bearing fruit, you get in that new place and things start looking better. What did God say he's going to do? He's going to come and he's going to cut it again. Now, that's the part most folk don't understand. They understand the pain and the suffering of not being able to grow. Then all of a sudden they're growing and it's good. Look, God, I'm bearing some fruit. God said, that's not enough fruit. Cuts it again. You was only bearing some fruit. But now, since I cut you again, you can bear much fruit. Does cutting feel good? Never. Look at somebody and say, it's just a test. But if it die, fall to the ground, it's going to hit the ground, take root, and it's going to bear much fruit. Look at somebody and say, hang in there. Much fruit is coming. There will be those that come back into your life after you cut them. But we must have the fortitude. That's my word for 2012. To walk away from people when we need to. Fortitude. To walk away from people when we need to. Whenever we cannot leave certain people alone, it's a self-esteem issue. When a person suffers abandonment in their childhood, they struggle with abandoning others. When a person harbors secret feelings and don't let their feelings out, they struggle with secret sins. When a person lacks self-worth, they want to get along with and feel they need everyone they have ever known. When you lack self-worth, you don't have the fortitude to tell certain folks goodbye because you need them to make you you. But you keep them around because they make you feel better about yourself. You got more sense than all of them. Yeah, right. Look at them. You feel smart and beautiful when you're around them. Because their lives are just jacked to the max. They don't even believe what you believe. They Muslims and Hindus and everything. And you still just carrying them around. Because they make you feel like a strong Christian without studying. Well, I'm stronger than them. Yeah, they Muslims. I'm preaching in here. These are issues that must be addressed before a person can take control of their lives and choose their friends wisely. So you got to deal with the personal stuff before you can choose your friends wisely. You got to deal with who you are before you can deal with who they are. Or you'll keep them in your life forever. They'll hold you down and you'll never become anything for God. God is totally shackled by the folks, by the company you keep. These folks are holding you down on purpose. And you can't let them go because you have personal struggles. Real friends. Look at somebody say real friends. I ain't talking about Facebook friends, MySpace friends, social network friends. What is that? That's why I hate social networks. We're on there because everybody's on there. But I hate it. I don't have any friends on Facebook. I don't have any friends. I got a ghost profile. Can't nobody befriend me or nothing because that ain't no friend to me. When I first signed up for it, In 10 minutes, I had 600 friend requests. I don't know these folk.
Yeah, that's right.
So I was like, no, I can't do this. Because I take the word for it. If we're going to sing, I am a friend of God, are you friends with God like you friends with friends on Facebook? And then you start looking at that number, and it's, you know, you start getting a little narcissistic. Wait a minute, that ain't high enough. 300? She got 2,000 and I got 300. I better get on the grind. The grind? But some folks are on these social networks. Narcissism. That's what it is. But a real friend, according to the noun friend, the definition is a person who one knows. Look at somebody say, a person who one knows. That's the first requirement to be a friend. One knows. You got to know them.
That's right.
How they your friend and you don't know them, man? What's wrong with people? Sorry about that. I mean, I just can't believe, folks. You got to know that. Look at somebody say, you got to know them first. I'm fine because I have 200. You don't know them. The first thing, you got to know them. And with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. That means you got to believe the same stuff. Second definition, a person who is not an enemy or who is on the same side. So when you post something on Facebook and then everybody hits you up fighting against you, delete, ban, because they're not your friend. The definition, first, you don't know them. And if you do know them, if they don't believe and are not on the same side, why are they on? This drives me crazy. You know why it drives me crazy? Because you don't understand what that does to your esteem. That harms your perception of yourself when you're constantly challenged about what you believe. See, I don't entertain it. God did not want. Now, understand, the disciples, when he sent them out, they didn't have a Bible of the New Testament. All they had was words of the old covenant that had been given to them. So they had to just go around and be a Bible, right? So they couldn't show you proof. They had to just say it. Jesus knew that this is going to affect their esteem when they go and get kicked out of places. So he told them, he said, when you go to a place and the people won't receive you, immediately shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. Because if you hang out there, it's going to challenge what you believe. It's going to hurt your self-esteem. And you'll begin to question what it is you're doing. Why are you putting yourself in the lion's den? You don't even have to be there. Daniel had to be there. So you don't. You can leave the lions. You want the lions around just biting. Yeah, rah, rah. Why are you subjecting yourself to that? Ooh, I mean, am I preaching hard or is it hot or is it both? About to take off this top shirt, but my undershirt is like Eddie Long, so. The Bible is very clear about two being in agreement to walk together. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? This does not mean we agree on everything, but it does mean that we must be in agreement on what the Bible is saying. We witness to and pray for sinners, but we do not embrace sinners as friends. Oh, gosh. Because we are not in agreement with their lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not keep company with those that have not faith. Simple. What is there in common between righteousness and evil, or between light and dark? Most Christians like to say that Jesus hung out with sinners. That's the one they use. Jesus hung out with sinners. No, he didn't. Look at somebody and say, no, he didn't. That's a lie. This is not true at all. Sinners sought out Jesus for answers. When they would find him, he would minister to them and give them truth. He was not befriending them or hanging out with them, but rather they were searching for him or the truth, and he would make himself available for them as a minister. Well, he was at the party, and it was a wedding. Why do you want to make it a party? Like that was a Soul Train line. He was at the party. Jesus was there. He was in the. It was a. Somebody say it was a wedding. Now, just because you did the electric slide for 2 hours at your wedding, don't mean they were doing that at a Jewish wedding. He turned water into wine. Yes, he did, and they drunk it. See what? That don't mean you can go get a 40. Rick Warren, This is a very good quote I got from this guy, Matt Costella. Rick Warren, senior pastor of Saddleback Valley Community Church in Orange County, says, from the Gospels, it is obvious that Jesus enjoyed being with seekers far more than being with religious leaders. That's not true. He went to their parties. He was at a wedding. See how he's wording this? And was called the friend of sinners. Who called him that? The Pharisees. You see what he did? How many people would call you that, a friend of sinners? I hope none. I'm a friend of God, not a friend of sinners. Now, I'll teach a sinner how to become a friend of God and we can be friends. Warren then asked, how many people would call you that? That's page 208 of The Purpose-Driven Church, which is just a demonic book. But what is this text actually saying? Notice that Jesus is quoting the words of the Pharisees who falsely accused him of living a worldly lifestyle, just as they falsely accused John, saying he was demon-possessed. So in other words, when the sinners would come to him, they tried to put a spin on it and say Jesus was sitting with the sinners. Was John demon-possessed? No. Was Jesus a wine bibber and a gluttonous hedonist? Absolutely not. To use this text to justify worldliness is an abomination. Certainly, Jesus was not a wine bibber, and while he did love the unsaved, he never imitated, lived, nor acted like them in any way. That's in Matt Costella's book, Would Jesus Do That? Oh, that was deep. When we hold on to people that do not believe what we believe, we are making it hard for our own witness. Even professed Christians have to be expelled from our lives at times for reasons taught to us in the Word. Y'all ready for the reasons? These are the reasons why you got to get away from some folks that's saying they're saved. And we all have to do it. I've had to do it, and it pains me sometimes. I have friends that came up in ministry. I just got to walk away from them. Time's up. Amen. Had a guy tell me, he said, man, I always know when you walk away from one of your friends. I said, really? How? He said, because the X-Cast list gets shorter. You know, it used to be 1 through 40 on the X-Cast. Now it's like 1, 8, 16, 20. Have to delete them. They're no longer, if we ain't walking together, I got to delete them off the list.
That's right.
I don't care what we talked about. Look at somebody and say, everybody's not going to make it with you. Seasons. First reason to dump some of these folks that are clinging to you and calling themselves Christians. When they call themselves a Christian but continue to walk in sin, that's the first one. 1 Corinthians 5:11, but now I've written to you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, believer, be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, don't even eat. Second reason. If we catch them in a fault or a sin and they refuse to hear us. So we catch them in a fault, whether they hurt you or hurt somebody else, and you go try to tell them about it and they don't want to hear you. You know what they're really saying? I don't trust the Jesus in you. Time to exit. Like Snagglepuss, stage left. If their actions, the next reason, if their actions and deeds are unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians said. What is unfruitful? That means that it's not of God. Their actions. They don't do what the Bible says. All their works are unfruitful. It's time to separate. Y'all heard the saying, one bad apple spoil a whole bunch? Amen. Your fruit will get rotten if their fruit is rotten. Time to separate. Can I keep preaching? Next reason. If a man doesn't work. See, I knew it was going to get solid in here. Ain't nobody dug that deep. Paul had a whole message in 2 Thessalonians about this. Because the people weren't working. And he was mad at them. And he said, hey, we came down here. We was preaching and ministering to you and working at the same time. So we didn't ask y'all for anything because we were working to make money to take care of ourselves. And we didn't put any burden on y'all. But there are some of y'all that's sitting around idle, ain't doing nothing. You're not working. And you got the nerve to be in other folks' business. Indeed, we bear that some among you are disorderly, that they are passing their lives in idleness, neglect of duty, being busy with other people's affairs instead of their own and doing no work. J- your man doing laying up and he ain't working, waking up late? Come on. Come on. Now, wives, don't leave him. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm breaking fellowship with him. Tomorrow. I've been waiting on this message. He said, but if anyone in the church refuses to obey what we say in this letter, when he was fussing at him, take note of that person and do not associate with him so that he may be made ashamed. That's right. He need to be shamed for not working. Dang. Bible says you are worse than a sinner if you don't provide for your family. Yeah. Men. That's right. I'm a preacher. I feel it. If a person is a false teacher, you're supposed to break fellowship with them. 1 Timothy 1 and 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander? Paul just called them out. That's where I learned it. I learned it from him. Whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. In other words, there's no hope for them. They're crazy. They're false teachers. They're not teaching the truth. You got to get from under that. Because that's going to affect you. Well, that's my uncle. It's my uncle's church. Get out of there. If your uncle's possessed, he's teaching untruth. I don't care if it's your daddy. Now, if you're living in his house, you got to stay at that church. You ain't going to be using his AC and try to change churches. Had somebody email me. I'm 23 years old and my parents, their church is just demonic. And all the stuff you taught in part 7 is going on in the church. And I don't know what to do. So I emailed him back. I said, do you live with your parents? He emailed me back. Yes. I said, Sunday, I just need you to throw your hands up and say thank you in that church. How you gonna try to leave? And you still living with your parents? You better be the first one at church. I don't care what they do. I don't care if they got a bloody staff and walking down the aisle. You better grab that staff and help them. They feeding you. You're gonna try to separate. And you don't have your own gig. Well, mama, y'all drop me off at this other church because on Sundays, it's on y'all's way. But if a person is a false teacher, you got to get from under them. Hey, amen. Stop leaving the word network on all day. That's right. I just need some Christian television. That ain't Christian television. That's some foolishness. Hours and hours and hours of fool. You might as well leave VH1 videos on. It's about the same amount of spirituality. Some foolishness on there. If a person is not consenting to the truth, but rather has itching ears. You got a friend that's got itching ears. He try to tell the truth about the church, what they're listening to, what they're accepting, and they just won't listen to you. I'm sorry. I this is just what I believe, and you extreme. I'm sorry. Well, then, over a period of time, you're going to either conform to them or you're going to leave. Yeah, they're going to change you if you can't change them. Did you hear what I'm saying? Yeah, because there's a certain amount of compromise for you to even keep them in your life. That's right. So you're already on the road of compromise right then. Oh, I'm preaching the truth in here. Somebody don't want to hear this. Yeah, you give them a grace period. You know, I'm going to work on them. I'm going to pray for them. But after a while, they start calling you crazy. And what you believe is extreme. It's time to go. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Paul is warning you pull yourself away from these kinds of people because they're going to change you if you can't change them. Another reason, if a person is in fellowship with those that promote darkness, that's called causing division. The Bible says you're supposed to not only have no fellowship with them, but you're also supposed to expose it. Romans says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, which ye have learned, and what? Avoid them. He said, I'd rather have you hot or cold, because if you're in the middle, if you're lukewarm, you're worthless. Crawfishing. Anybody eat crawfish? I know Will does. Hopefully he stopped. Amen. Cholesterol in one of them little jokers. It's very bad. And then that orange stuff that's in there that you got to wipe off. And people from Louisiana, I'm a boy, but, they got this saying where they, suck the head and eat the tail. Ain't that nasty? I'm like, don't say that at my table, please. If you open the front part of the crawfish, you'll see why it is not for human consumption. You'll find fingernails in there. You didn't know that, did you? You open like the front of a lobster. They eat human bodies that fall over in the sea. Can I just break this stuff down for you? You know, Negroes think that when they're eating lobster, they live at large. Oh, give me another one. I am Henry VIII. I am, I am. Yes, five lobsters, please. Have you seen Henry VIII? He's like 600 pounds. Yeah, but when you break open the front part of a lobster, they eat human bodies down there. They call the front of the lobster dead man because that's what they survive on, dead men. So when the men fall over in the boats and stuff, they go down and eat them. So if you break that part open and get a light or something so you can look down in there, see fingernails, human teeth, pieces of clothing, everything, because they can't break it down. Somebody in here still, I don't care, I don't eat that part, no how. Give me that big old rock lobster tail, please. Suck the head and eat the tail. Yes, that's my motto. I'm going today. Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you. So me and Will went somewhere and he was putting them away like 10 a minute. I was like, Will Ford, come on, Doc. Your heart is slowing down while we're talking. Your eyes just start drooping. But crawfish are something special when you watch them. Matthew 12 and 47 talks to us about this whole crawfishing thing. And one said to him, Jesus, while he was meeting with his disciples, I talked about this last week, see your mother and your brother, they're outside. They need you, Jesus. They're designed to have talk with you. But in answer, Jesus said to him who gave the news, I mean, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he put out his hands to his disciples and said, see, this is my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the pleasure of my Father in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Some of us got to have some spiritual surrogates because our natural family, they don't want to hear what we have to say. You know, most folks, especially if you grew up African-American in African-American tradition, there's a whole lot of denial in growing up. They don't want to face the fact that, you know, Uncle Willie molested all the girls in the family and one of the brothers molested everybody in the family. And, you know, somebody died of AIDS and somebody's been homosexual. They don't want to accept any of that. And granddad was a Freemason and he was a Prince Hall. You know, nobody wants to accept it. It's just, no, don't tell me like it's going to go away. But they're constantly dealing with all the spirits and the curses from that stuff. Something's wrong when everybody in the family is divorced. Everybody in the family got herpes. Everybody in the family got, you know what I'm saying? Something is wrong. Yes. Amen. Tattoos on their faces. I mean, something is wrong. Yes, you don't just slip out the house and go get in a gang and get killed. There's something wrong with that family. Nobody want to face it. So with all that denial, it's shh, hush. Don't say nothing. Like, if you don't say it, it'll go away. No, it's going on for generations. And generations. Look at somebody and say, but not my generation. And I'm going to call it what it is and I'm going to stop it. See, you got to call it what it is first before you can break it. That's a curse. I'm breaking it. So-and-so did something to me. Yep, I'm God forgive them. I forgive them, but they shouldn't have done it to me. But that's not happening for me and mine. I'm putting an end to that right now. Amen? Anybody taking authority over their family, their generation? I stop it right now. You can't do nothing about the past, but you can definitely affect the future. That's why we don't hide this foolishness. We deal with it. Look at somebody and say, deal with it. A bucket of crawfish is always interesting to watch. They all claw and pull each other down every time one tries to get out. You know, they usually put them in a bathtub. You can put them in a bathtub, fill it with water, and leave it for a week. Come back in there. They all still in. Ain't that crazy? Fill a bucket up. All the way to the top to where some of the, even their claws is hanging off the side. Come back a week later, his claw is just off on the ground. He's still in the bucket. Why is that? They all claw and pull each other down every time one tries to get out. That's because they all trying to get out. So when one almost gets out, ooh, I'm going to use him to get out. And he pull him back down. If they would work together, they could escape. But because they all keep pulling each other back into the bucket, they all going to get bald. Family can be this way at times. Rather than focusing on the fact that we can all help each other, they would rather claw at you and pull you back into the bucket. Am I telling the truth? They get jealous of your new identity in Christ or the success you have in ministry. You got two people saved, and they have not got anybody saved, so they start. And their desire is to make what you do or who you are less than it is. Lord, have mercy. You must remove yourself from these opinions. I didn't say remove yourself from the people. Family's just going to be family. Some of y'all in the house with them. But you got to remove yourself from the opinions, or you will begin to believe it yourself. Breaking fellowship with family is different altogether. Sure, family is always around, but you can't really divorce yourself from them. But you must take Jesus's attitude and keep those that believe what you believe close to you. Y'all hear that? Your natural family is what? Natural. So keep the conversations when you're with them, keep it on the natural. And the time you spend together on a natural level, if you know they are contentious. So you already know, ain't no need to talk about church. Let's just talk about Six Flags. You know, just joke about natural stuff. And then the minute that, ooh, I had a good time at church. Well, it looks like it's time to go. I have somewhere to be. Amen. Don't let them, you know, you already know what's coming. Why would you even get into that conversation? Y'all could be talking about French fries. And then they go, you know, that church you go to. Because you already know contention is coming. Amen. So keep your conversations on a natural level. Share spiritual things with those that are on the same side as you and believe what you believe. So whenever you want to talk about how good church was, talk to somebody that was there and that believes it was good. Why do people go to church and they don't like it? Some folks just assign the churches. So they can sit there and say, that's your job in life. Your call. I would not waste 2 hours being in this church and not like it. But just share the spiritual things with those that will listen. Summary, when God tells us to move, guess what? Look at somebody and say, you must move. You better move. And God's word is what he is saying. Why do we think that the Bible is different and we got to hear an audible voice, confirmation, prophecy, or something like that? He wrote it down. Everything I just read is written. Why are you waiting for a word? I need a word to move. I mean, I'm ready to move. I'm ready to go. I know I'm not supposed to be here. I'm just praying that God tell me. He said it in the word when it's time to go. There's no different. There's no separate timing for you. Would you pray for me that God will give me the word? No, I ain't praying nothing. That's right. I'm gonna email you some scriptures. He is saying it. When he wrote it, he's saying it. He's saying it, and he wrote it. But some folks are waiting on confirmation, prophecy, or an audible voice. That is not necessary when it comes to breaking fellowship. All you need is what the Bible said. Oh, the Bible said it's time to go. Guess what? It's time to go. Oh, what? The word gave us the instructions, and it's up to us to implement it. If we decide to go against what is written, then we are heaping tragedy and calamity upon our lives and may never get to where God desires us to be. We don't see the flags. We won't read the signs. 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He's not talking about what you're saying, because you're saying you're in fellowship, but he's talking about what you're doing. Your walk is still in darkness. You got darkness attached to you. So you're lying and you're not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship where? So the only way they can come out of the dark and be in the light and have fellowship with you is if they walk in the light as he is in the light. And then after you walk in the light as he is in the light and you have fellowship one to another, then the blood of Jesus, his son, will cleanse us.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective from G. Craig Lewis, founder of EX Ministries and pastor of Adamant Believers Council in Grand Prairie, Texas. If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to be a financial blessing to us, please send your donation to EX Ministries, P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at www.exministries.com.